From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Thursday to you, America. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. We are broadcasting from Brooklyn, New York, where thousands of people, they're now telling us, are apparently infected, testing positive with the Chinese virus. And but I'm here to tell you that the everybody here on the show is alive and well. Nobody's coughing, nobody's sneezing, nobody's keeling over. So everybody's doing well, and we appreciate all of the kind words and comments that you've been sending to our team here at the radio program. But it certainly has been a very interesting experience going through this virus and going through the ramifications of what's happening here in this city, where day by day, moment by moment, minute by minute, we do not know really what's going to happen. And I think it's safe to say that at least here in New York City, people are living on edge. People are very concerned. There is high level of anxiety. And I would not say that there is panic in the streets, but there is certainly panic in the supermarkets and places where that are actually open. And I'm very anxious to hear what's happening in other parts of this great country. And I want to give out our telephone number because we do want to open up the phone lines to you, and we want to hear from you. We want to know what's going on in your neighborhoods, what's going on in your communities. What are you doing? How are you maintaining your sanity, being confined to your home, not being able to go to work, not being able to go to school? What are you doing to keep the kids occupied? And really, we want to open up the phone lines and let people talk about what's happening, maybe some things that you are doing to bide the time. We'd love for you to share those things with us, because that's what this radio program is all about. And we made a decision as a team a couple of days ago to really go about doing this 3 hours of radio, 3 hours of conversation a little bit differently over the next however many days we have to go through this. Because honestly, the best way to practice social distancing and still have a conversation and still connect with people is through the radio. And we're excited that we're broadcasting this show on many radio stations around the country. Many of you watch our Facebook live stream. Many of you listen to our live stream. And there are many different ways for you to hear the program. But I'd like to think that we're just sort of an extended national front porch. And at least in this instance, this radio program is coronavirus free. So you don't have to worry about catching anything, except maybe some good laughs and maybe a few good ideas here and there. So anyway, we are going to open up the lines. We have some great guests coming up that are going to visit with us. Our good friend Pat Miller from WoWo Radio in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're going to check in with him, see how our listeners in the Fort Wayne area are doing. Also, Martha Zoller from WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia, is going to join us. She'll let folks know how things are going in Gainesville. And Bill O'Reilly is going to drop by. He'll be here in just a little while. And the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, is going to join us, give us an update on what's happening with food and making sure that all of those supply lines remain intact. So here's what this show is about moving forward. We want this to be a lifeline for you, because I get it. Look, we've been in the same boat. We have not been able to get outside much here in New York City, doing the show from my home here in downtown Brooklyn, and I get it. It's a crazy time right now, and so we just want to be there for you guys and vice versa. So here's our telephone number. Call screener Avery standing by to take your calls. at 844-747-8868. That number again, it's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. And I'm also excited to share with you our live show blog. We just started this on yesterday's show. We have the live show blog up. So a lot of the stories, a lot of the things we're talking about on today's program, you can find on the live show blog. And Avery, we're going to task you with an assignment today, among many. So we do want to know if people are calling in and maybe they have an idea of how you can, you know, you can kill the time.
Okay.
We're going to create a list. So you're in charge of the official. What do you do to don't go back crazy?
Okay. All right.
We may need to come up with another list.
Some some hobbies, I guess you could say.
Hobbies are good.
Hobbies are good. All right.
You can only watch so many episodes of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, that's true. Ray Romano gets a little repetitive every once in a while.
It's a little repetitive. But we're gonna open up the phones and people are gonna hopefully give us some ideas, some things we can do to pass the time as we wait for this virus to do whatever it's going to do. You know, folks, a lot of people around New York City have given me a hard time over the years because I, for many, many years, have been a member of the National Rifle Association. And my mailman frequently would tell me, jokingly, that I was the only member of the NRA in my zip code. And people would mock. I would wear my NRA ball cap, a black ball cap, and it had gold letters, NRA. And people would sneer. They would mock you. They would mumble things under your... I didn't... You know, what do I care? I say that because... Here in New York City, they are currently considering a plan to release many criminals from Rikers Island, which is where they send a lot of the bad guys. It's one of the prisons here in New York City. Because of this Chinese virus, they're going to be releasing at-risk prisoners onto the streets of New York City. Beyond that, many cities around the country are... announcing that they will no longer arrest criminals committing crimes. So if you catch someone burglarizing your home or stealing your car or committing some other kind of crime, you will not be arrested. You will be given a summons to show up at a later date after the virus is all over with. And I got to tell you something. A lot of people in the apartment building were kind of nervous by this news about the criminals being released from the prisons here in New York City, because there's already a heightened sense of anxiety on the streets. A lot of the businesses are closed, and it's honestly a very weird, eerie feeling on New York City streets right now. So I was talking to some folks in the lobby of the building. You know, we have this beautiful, elegant building, lovely places, very modern lobby where you can sit down on things. They took it all away. Nobody can loiter in the lobby of the building anymore. They don't want the staff catching the coronavirus. So I was talking to one of the guys, and he brought up the fact. He goes, "Oh, yeah, you're a member of the NRA." And I said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "I'll tell you one thing. Nobody's laughing at old Todd Starnes, NRA member right now in Brooklyn, New York. Nobody's mocking old Todd Starnes, NRA member right now. You got criminals wandering the streets." 844-747-8868 is our number. Let's go to the phones. Oh, we lost Carlotta, so maybe our phone line got infected. You never know these days. Another interesting story, and we're going to get into this with Bill O'Reilly. There is a big controversy in Washington, D.C. right now over whether or not the words Chinese virus or Wuhan virus are somehow racist. Now, the mainstream media and the Democrats and a bunch of the identity politics crowd are telling us that if we acknowledge that this virus came from China, if we call it the Wuhan virus or the Wuhan flu, then somehow that is racist, and that makes you a racist if you call this a Chinese virus, as President Trump has been doing lately. But I want to explain to you why exactly, A, it is not racist, but B, I want to explain why the president has been going out of his way to identify this as a Chinese virus. Now, on the live show blog, we have posted links to these stories, but you need to understand something, that CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times and the Washington Post back in January, when the virus was not yet a pandemic, these mainstream media organizations were actually calling the Chinese virus a Chinese virus. They were calling it the Wuhan virus because it originated in the Wuhan province of China. So what we're watching unfold right now, ladies and gentlemen, is nothing more than politics. And it ought to repulse you that we have people in the mainstream media right now that are playing politics and trying to take cheap political shots at President Trump while people are dying in America. And the media, they just don't care. They just do not care. So faster than you can say Hong Kong phooey, you got the mainstream media out there accusing the president of being a racist. But the reason why the president is out there reminding people that this virus started in China is because the Chinese are out there trying to convince people that America is responsible for the virus. So optics matter, messaging matters, the truth matters. And that's why the president is out there every time he gets a chance telling people, hey, look, this is where the virus came from. So I want to give you guys some inconvenient facts about this Chinese virus. First of all, the Chinese people in the Wuhan province eat bats. They eat bat soup. They eat fried bats. They eat, I don't know, macaroni and cheese. They eat the bats. According to NPR News, and we have the link to this story in the live show blog, according to NPR, thousands of bats in China carry the coronavirus. And according to NPR and the headline that they changed, the original headline said that more than 400 strains of the coronavirus were carried in Chinese bats. So what have we learned so far? Well, the Chinese people in the Wuhan province eat bats. NPR says thousands of bats in China carry the virus. And so happens the first outbreak was reported in the Wuhan province where people eat bats. Instead of dealing with the problem, the Chinese government tried to cover up the outbreak. When that did not happen, when they could not contain the story, what did they do? They kicked out the media, they shut down the borders, and they blamed the United States. And I want to say something here. I don't care if you're Chinese, I don't care if you're Italian or a redneck from Bucksnort, Tennessee, but there's something very, very wrong with people who eat bats. Let me say that again. There is something very wrong with people who eat bats. 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number, folks. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
I really don't care if it is controversial. I'm serious. If there's something wrong with you, if you eat a bat, I don't care where you're from. That's just, you're not right with the Lord. That's one thing. But geez, Lou, come on. And I don't even think Anthony Bourdain, may he rest in peace, I don't even think he would eat a bat. He wrote, Wow, I forgot about that story. He did Bourdain back in the day, and you can Avery call screener Avery. You may need to fact check me on this, but I believe that Anthony Bourdain, may he rest in peace. I believe he once ate the wazoo of a warthog or something.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Could you please Google that, please?
I'll Google.
And if you think that's bad, wait till you see the video I have on the live blog. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program. Great to have you with us. My apologies for just upsetting your lunchtime appetites there. But we got a lot going on. We have a lot going on today, and we're going to try to lap our way through a lot of this, but there is some serious stuff we've got to talk about, and I do hope that you are taking whatever precautions necessary to protect yourself and to protect your family, and also check in on the neighbors. If you know somebody in the neighborhood, maybe an elderly, a senior citizen, they can't get out, they should not get out. Why don't you pay him a call? Just see, hey, look, I'm heading to the grocery store. Do you need me to pick up some groceries for you? I mean, that's the neighborly thing to do. And we've got to do that. We got to look after each other. I got to tell you, President Trump doing a heck of a job. The Trump administration, I think the government's doing a good job here. They're trying as best they can, but we've got a responsibility as well. We can't rely on the government. We've got to look after each other. That's how we do things as Americans. And you guys know that. All right, I think we've got Carlotta back. She was calling in from the beautiful state of Rhode Island, listening to us on WLOB. Hi, Carlotta. How are you doing?
Hi. Well, did your producer tell you I'm kind of angry at you?
I don't believe so, but that's good to know.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, there may be something wrong with people who eat that, but there's nothing wrong with people who eat cream of celery soup, Todd. You gave them a bad rap.
Oh, Carlotta, you were listening that day, weren't you? Oh, my.
Yes, I was. And you open a bag of frozen okra, and you put it in your cream of celery soup, and you've got yourself a soup.
Wait. Now, you know, I'm from the deep south, Carlotta, and you can't do frozen okra down south, or they'll come after you. It's kind of like buying store-bought
fried
chicken.
Well, you're a big boy now. You're living in Brooklyn. Give it a try. Put on your big boy pants and buy a bag of frozen okra, okay? You'll change your tune. All right.
Carlotta, I'm curious, how are things doing up in your neck of the woods? Everybody doing okay?
You know, fortunately, we live in a bubble here in Rhode Island. It's so beautiful. I don't want to say any more. It's a well-kept secret. I'll leave it at that. I live in a town that's rated one of the 100 safest towns in the country. So, fortunately, we're not suffering. We're staying inside where we're trying to do our patriotic best. But you know what I really called you about?
What's that, Carlotta?
All right. When I said angry, I'm not angry at you because I'm your biggest fan. But the news cycle is so short. And you know how the Democrats are always saying, people will die, people will die.
Carlotta?
People have.
Carlotta, I want you to hold that thought. That music means we got to take a break. I kind of let the time slip away here. You lost me on the fried okra. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get right back to you. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program, this special coronavirus edition of the show. There was a little bit of a scare in the neighborhood yesterday. I was going about collecting some of the essentials. You kind of feel like you're, I don't know, it's like everybody sort of feels like they're old peasant women, you know, from Ukraine. Or remember that, where they're, you know, you're going around like scavenging for food on the streets of Brooklyn. That's what everybody sort of feels like these days around here. And so there's the local wine shop had a big sign up, and people were initially terrified because they thought the sign said every customer is limited to 6 bottles of wine. And but it turned out, no, that was not the edict, the mandate of the state government. It was only six customers allowed in the store at any given time. So a little scared, though, here in Brooklyn. So, look, I want to go back to the lines. We had lovely Carlotta, who was giving me a very difficult time for disparaging cream of celery soup and telling me I needed to expand my culinary horizons by trying frozen okra. And the time got away from us. Carlotta, thanks for holding on.
Okay. So anyway, so as I said, they're always saying people will die. But the truth is, Tom, people have died, and they died because during the first 3 years of our president's presidency, his energies were used fighting imprisonment and impeachment. And he would have seen this coming. There are only 24 hours in a day. So I really feel you broadcasters have to start every program by saying, people have died, folks. You know why.
Carlotta, that is a fair thing you say. And Bill O'Reilly, when we're going to have him on in the next hour of the show, and his morning commentary actually address that very issue about the timeline of this virus and when it really hit the national media, when it began to spread out of China and what was going on. And honestly, this president was in the throes of defending himself from the Democrats in this impeachment trial. That's, if you go back to January, remember what was happening in January and February as the Democrats were trying to destroy this president's administration. So you're absolutely right. And the president does have a lot on his plate. And yet, has the government done everything 100% right? No, because we're all human. But they're trying, and I know the messaging sort of sucks, and it's all over the place. But you know what? They're doing the best job they can.
But you can't let people forget, Todd. Every day you have to remind voters. It's not his fault. It's their fault. And then I have a third point, if I may.
You certainly may.
Okay. He's a builder. And you know how people are always saying, well, he addresses every fight. You know, he picks a fight. If you insult him, he does this. He responds to everything. He should ignore it. He can't ignore it. Because as a builder, this is his life. This is his training. If you're 1/16th of an inch off at the foundation, by the time you get to the roof, your building is on the next block. And that's his MO. Just putting out all these fires as soon as they start.
Carlotta, I think there's a lot of truth to what you said, and we will do that. I will make that promise to you on this program every day. We will remind people of that, because you're right. I mean, people have short-term memory. They don't think about these things, and they do need to do that. And you know what, Carlotta, here's what else I'm going to do. I'm going to go back down to the store, and I'm going to get some of that cream of celery soup that nobody in the neighborhood wants to eat, and I'm going to try it.
Okay, I'll
just
call
for
you.
Just for you. I may do it on the air. Well, we'll work out the details. Thanks. Carlotta, you be safe out there in Rhode Island. Take care of yourself.
Okay, you too. Bye.
All right, good lady right there. I don't know about that cream of celery, but I'll try it for Carlotta.
Yeah, for Carlotta. She was really nice. I really enjoyed her.
Nice. But we have great listeners, don't we?
Yeah, of course. Obviously. I love every call that we get. But speaking of things that you eat, you had tasked me with figuring out if Anthony Bourdain had eaten the wazoo of a warthog. And unfortunately, I can confirm he has done so.
You see, I thought he did. I don't know why I remembered that, but it was a big story at the time.
Yes, it was. And he's also eaten many other things. I found an article from thedailymeal.com. And it's just like the headline is just the most bizarre things Anthony Bourdain has ever eaten. One of them, like the first one that comes up, is Baloo, which is basically the embryo of a duck egg.
Oh, geez, Alou. Come on, Avery.
Yeah, what? Hey, you brought this upon yourself. Another thing he's eaten is a a cobra heart, like the heart of a cobra, which honestly, like, that sounds like something you'd hear out of a, like, a character from, like, a Japanese movie or something like that. Something, you know what I'm talking about?
I really don't. I'm still trying to not to lose my lunch over the duck eggs.
He's also eaten stinky tofu, which I thought that was just normal tofu. It's not. It's just fermented tofu.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
He apparently at one point ate a raw seal eyeball.
Yes. That is another thing, which is, I bet PETA is not very upset about that.
Yeah. Was the seal still alive?
I highly I don't. I'm going to assume not, because that is very inhumane.
I'm going to hope not, for the seal's sake.
Exactly.
You know, they have seals down on the California coast, you know, up or just in the Laguna Beach area, and up in the San Francisco area. And you can, I mean, they look to be fairly docile. But the next time I'm out there, if I see one of the seals and one of them has a patch, that's the one that probably met Anthony Bourdain. So.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully not, though. Hopefully he didn't eat a live seal. And so, there's many other things he's eaten, but I do not feel comfortable reading those out on the air.
Well, we appreciate that, Avery.
You're welcome.
We like to make sure we're giving accurate information to our esteemed audience here. And so we can confirm that Anthony Bourdain once ate the wazoo of a warthog.
Which, by the way, is a far... That's about the nicest thing you could call what he ate.
Exactly. That is definitely the nicest thing.
It's pretty disgusting, to be honest with you. All right, 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, that's 844-747-8868. President Trump says just a few moments ago that the malaria drug, the drug they used to treat malaria, could be used to fight back against the coronavirus. And it does appear that that we're making some sort of progress, but the numbers, and they told us this, you know, the numbers were going to go up as the more people get tested, and that's that. But I'm going to ask you a question about something. We talked about this a few days ago, this idea that for the sake of public safety, that some Americans, many Americans, would be willing to sacrifice their civil liberties, their constitutional rights. And I'm wondering what you think about that. Are you one of those people? Would you be willing to give up something, one of your freedoms, for the sake of being safe? Now, Avery, Caleb, you guys were not old enough to remember this, but back before 2001, the 9/11 terrorist attacks, if you took somebody to the airport, let's say you had a family member that was going on an airplane trip, there was no security at the airports. You could just walk in.
Yeah, you could walk up to the gate, right?
Just walk right to the gate, hang out, you could do whatever you wanted to do. And of course, that all changed after 9/11. And many people were very concerned about the so-called Patriot Act, which was, quite frankly, legislation that was meant to curtail our freedoms. When you walk into an airport in any American city now, you feel like you're entering a third world country where you're terrified. I mean, you walk in there with a bottle of Coca-Cola, and the next thing you know, they'll throw you in some sort of a room with an interrogation lamp and read you the riot act.
We were in Disney this past, earlier this year. It was either January or February. I can't remember, but I bought a mug, like a decorative, like, coffee mug to take on the way back just as a souvenir.
Oh, yeah.
And when they saw that mug in that backpack, they had all sorts of questions.
Is it the one that you showed me?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
funny. They had a lot of questions as to what this is and why is it all wrapped up and stuff.
It's just outrageous. I do not understand, and I never have understood, why we needed to have the TSA. Why we needed to target grandmothers and small children for the sake of not wanting to profile the people that were most likely to blow us up in the name of their religion. I never did understand that. So, all that to say, on Tuesday night, there was a gathering in Louisiana at a pretty large church. Now, this church is right outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The name of the town is Central Louisiana. And this church, they run about a little over 1,000 people on Sunday morning. So this is a very large church. Life Tabernacle. The pastor there, a guy by the name of Tony Spell. And the governor of Louisiana, John Bel Edwards, who is a Democrat, issued an order banning any groups larger than 50 people from meeting at any one time. And that included churches. So if you have a church and you have more than 50 people, you would be in defiance of the law in Louisiana right now. Now, a lot of folks are saying, well, that's a prudent thing to do, right? I mean, it's there's a lot going on. If you don't know who's carrying the virus, you don't want to get people sick. So that's a prudent thing to do. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, if you recall, President Trump a few days ago told all of us, you know what, I would recommend that you have no group larger than 10 people. But there's a very important distinction between what Governor John Bel Edwards ordered people to do and what President Trump recommended people to do. And here's the distinction. The Louisiana governor was ordering people not to gather, and the president just recommended it. And there is some controversy right now and confusion over what rights churches have in times of emergency. Does the government have the right to tell a church, you cannot open your doors? So they had a meeting. Several hundred people came out to this gathering Tuesday night. And the police showed up. And there is some video. We've got the story link at the Todd Stearns Live Show blog at toddstearns.com. And you can see in this video the police officer having a conversation with the pastor after the service. And the police officer, according to the pastor says that police officer said, sir, if you do this again, if you violate the governor's order, they're going to send in the National Guard to break up your church services. Now, I want to say that again. This is what the pastor is alleging. The pastor says the police showed up, and there's video, so that's not in dispute. They're having a conversation in front of the church, and the police officer says, and we don't know, it looked like they were having a cordial conversation. The police officer did not look like he was, you know, threatening, or there were no loud voices raised or anything of that nature. I think the police officer said in a very polite way, pastor, you can't be doing this. And if you keep doing this, they're going to send in the National Guard. Now, the National Guard says, well, we don't do that kind of stuff. I don't know about that. How do you feel about the police, the National Guard, threatening a church on American soil? Congressman Clay Higgins, a Republican from Louisiana, sent a letter to the governor. And he says, you know what? Look, I get it. I understand why people don't need to be gathering in large places. But you don't have the constitutional right, Governor, to tell the people at Life Tabernacle Church what they can and cannot do in their church facility. You don't have that right under the Constitution, sir. That's the debate happening right here in America. Now, I'm just going to say this. Don't be stupid. Okay? I mean, yeah, look. Churches, you've got a right to meet in your church building. That is your protected constitutional right. But pastors, I mean, practice some common sense here. You don't know who's got the virus. You don't know who could be in danger of catching the virus. Practice a measure of prudence here. Yeah, you've got the right, but that doesn't mean you should. On the other side of the table, though, the federal government and the state government have absolutely no right, no jurisdiction to come in and shut down a church. Shame on you, Governor John Bel Edwards. And honestly, somebody in Louisiana needs to get out in front of the cameras and explain what the heck is going on. Because I'm telling you, pastors will not shut down their doors if you've got the National Guard threatening to break down the doors. We're going to get to the phones. Got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
You're with Todd Stearns.
We'll be right back. folks. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Great to have you with us today. A little leisurely on this Thursday. I think a lot of folks are just tired, worn out. You know, it's just been nonstop with the news and the government officials and folks. I get it. I get it. So we're hanging out today. We're going to have some great conversations coming up. A good friend of this program, Bill O'Reilly, is going to be here. By the way, all you folks listening to us on KWAM, which is about to be our new flagship station in Memphis, we're going to be bringing Bill O'Reilly to Memphis. He'll be a part of the new lineup on the all-new KWAM as we turn that terrific radio station into a blowtorch for freedom across the Mid-South. Also, Pat Miller and Martha Zoller. Pat is an afternoon radio host at WOWO in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And Martha Zoller from WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia. They're going to be here for our radio do-si-do is what we're calling it. We tried to call it the Radio Rumble, but nobody wanted a rumble.
Yeah, everybody was getting along. Everybody was getting along.
So we're going to call it the Radio Do-Si-Do. We need a good, clever theme song for that, Caleb. Get on that, will you? So, guys, I need you to go to the live show blog real quick on toddstearns.com. Folks, check that out, the live show blog. If you're eating a ham sandwich right now, do not. Saw this video on Twitter. Someone sent it to me to explain what's happening out in California. And it's a pretty horrible thing that's happening in California with all of the homeless people that have invaded the cities. We have video downtown Los Angeles, a woman buck naked running down the street, not a stitch of clothes on. She's holding a dead rat in her mouth. ToddStearns.com. All right, got to take a break here, pay some bills, maybe go throw up. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.